as we begin to understand that more and more. But I really encourage you, start to look outside of your walls. Look outside of your comfort. And just ask Him, God, what would you have me to do? Maybe it's across to your neighbor. Maybe it's the next cubicle at your workplace. Or the next business to you. They have conversations with lots. But maybe God wants you to take it a little bit deeper. Amen? As we open our hearts and we allow Him to lead us and to move us. We've been in a series called Better, but I've been putting it on hold right now because I felt like I didn't finish where I was last week, and I felt Holy Spirit just saying, you know, I want you to talk a little bit more about Holy Spirit, amen? We're a Pentecostal church. We love Holy Spirit. We're so thankful, amen? Jesus says, and that it's good for me to go, and I'm like, why? It's not good for Jesus to go. I'd like to have Jesus walking right now. Wouldn't it be pretty cool? Wouldn't it be pretty cool to have Jesus right here with us, walking and talking and touch Him and everything else? I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me, but I think that would be pretty cool. So when Jesus says, it's good for me to go, I'm like, nah, I don't think so. But He's like, it's good for me to go because when I go, I'll send the Comforter. I'll send Holy Spirit. I couldn't be with you 24/7 because I needed to be with my father at times, and he retreated away and just talked with his papa, his daddy. He talked to God. And he just communicated with him. And then he would come back to the disciples. Then he'd say to the disciples, hey guys, get in the boat and go across. I'll meet you on the other side. There was lots of times that he put the disciples out where he wasn't. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter what's around you, Holy Spirit's always there. Always there, drawing you back to Jesus. Let me read a little bit of scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the Lord's followers were together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from heaven, like the sound of a mighty wind. It filled the house where they were meeting. Then they saw what looked like fiery tongues moving in all directions. And a tongue came and settled on each person there. The Holy Spirit took control of everyone, and they began to speak whatever language the Spirit let them speak. And so with the coming of Holy Spirit, that I just read in Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, the church began. The church began. Over 2,000 years later, the presence and power of Holy Spirit continues to work in and through the church to bring glory and praise to Jesus. That's why I get myself in troubles and conversations, but when someone says, oh, I'm not really into religion, I say, well, neither am I. In fact, neither was Jesus, because it was a stench in his nostril. So that's a good thing that you're not into him. But how about a relationship with him? Because that's totally different. Amen? It's totally different to have a relationship with him, that you know him and he knows you. It's no longer, hey, Mr. Smith. Is this Mr. Smith? I'm just wondering if that's it. I don't really know, but I'm calling you. Or someone, hey, Phil, how you doing? Totally different conversation. And that when we get those calls, that's why with the telemarketer call, we should be a little more gentle with them and that they're just doing their job. But in that part, we get the call and we're like, click. No, thank you. Click, click, click. Because we're like, man, you don't even know me. You're just randomly calling me. But when Jesus calls you, he knows everything about you. He knows when you sit and you stand. He knows how many hair you have. He knows everything. Psalms 139. God desires for a people to be stuck together, to experience a rich life of intimate and intentional community. That doesn't happen in the flesh. Only happens in the Spirit. That's why he says that we need to be born again, no longer of just the flesh, where we're in control and we're keeping, but now we're born again of the Spirit. Now we're saying, okay, in my spirit, now Holy Spirit has entered into my spirit, and I'm saying, hey, you lead, Holy Spirit. You take the lead. Where you lead, I'll follow. It's kind of only one of the places In all of history, when you think of war and you think of battles and you think of that, the only way to get victory is to fight for it or to get it or to buy for it or to whatever. But with God, to gain victory is you surrender first. And then you get all the victory. Because victory is in Jesus. He's defeated death and hell. Oh, death, where is your sting? He has the keys now for everything. And he's given you and I authority to take those keys of his word, those principles, those promises, and put them into the holes of people's doors and start to open them up and say, hey, taste and see that God is good. Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47, we learn from the testimony of the early church the affirming of their core principles and practices of the devotion of the apostles' teaching. In other words, they took the word and they said, you know, this is absolute truth. The scripture says that it's God breathed. It's not my words. It's his. God breathed them down into people's hearts and they began to pen them down. And they haven't changed. Oh, I know the arguments, and I hear it all. That, oh, you know what? They got so many translations, and they're doing this and that. But you know what? The Bible was never written in English. So every time we have a translation to English, you're going to have problems. And that I've spoken through translators before, and sometimes I don't even know the language, and I'll stop and say, wait a minute here. I said 19 words. How come you only said 5? And they'll say to me, well, it doesn't translate quite right into our language, so I had to say it this way. And so in that part is that's where we come back to the place and say, okay, we've got paraphrases, we've got translations, and then in the translations, we've got a King James, who everyone fights is the only Bible in the world, yet, I don't know, King James wasn't that great of a man. And that, but he wrote this word, he commissioned great scholars and put it together, and he says, okay, I want you to translate word for word. We don't want to lose one power in any word. So that's what they did. But when they translated word for word, they lost some of the strength in the paragraph or in what it was really trying to say. So then comes along NIV. And NIV says, wow, you know, well, that was great word for word, but it's missing a little bit of the backbone of what it's trying to say in that paragraph. So they translated paragraph or sentence by sentence because they didn't want to lose the context. So in that part, so I say to people, you know, don't fight over English stuff. If you really want, you can go to blueletterbible.com and it'll give you every scripture will give you, you click on it and it'll go interlinear concordance and you can get every Greek and Hebrew word. And you can break it down yourself and study. It's amazing. You don't even have to be a Greek or a Hebrew scholar. But when we come back to it, we start to realize God's speaking all the time. He's wanting us to grab a hold of the practices and the teaching that he spoke in his word, the fellowship, the breaking, the bread, the prayer. In short, sometimes when we look at our modern church, we fall short. And we're challenged to return to the basics, to prioritizing our community, our fellowship, our authentic, our inclusiveness, our giving of relationships, to come back to the place. What was done when we patterned from the church in the book of Acts? What was done there? Not that we're the same people and there will be different flavors, but what are the general practices? What are the things that we need to grab a hold of? It's my strong conviction that if we want to be the kind of church that God desires and uses, our submission to the presence and power of Holy Spirit is of absolute critical essential. If we're really wanting to be the church God wants us to be, if we're really wanting to make an impact and we're really wanting to taste and see that he is good, this is the most crucial area of our life. Is that part of surrendering ourselves and submitting to Holy Spirit. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. that scripture where he talks about, I must decrease so he can increase. I've shared that last week. We talked a little bit and I said, you know, I know I get myself in a lot of trouble, so you just have to forgive me. But sometimes that's the way God wired me, to say some things to get people out of the place they are so they actually can move to the place that God wants them to be. I don't need any more of God. The moment I asked Jesus in my heart, I got all of him. The problem is not God. Never was, never will be. The problem is Phil. How much of Phil am I giving to God? How much am I allowing him in? Do I let him in just one day a week? Do I let him in every day a week? Do I let him into every area of my life, or do I compartmentalize him into small areas of my life? If the devil has lost, and he's just like a bee flying around with no stinger, just making a bunch of noise, why are we not seeing all that God has promised us to see? Either God is ripping us off, or he's forgetting about us, or there's some room for us to grow in. There's some room for us to embrace. And the last time I read scripture, the scripture said to me that from glory to glory, God is at work in our lives, building us, growing us, and developing us every day. So the next time the enemy says, oh, well you're not so good, or oh, this, you just smile back and say, God's not finished with me yet. He's still at work. Amen? When someone comes to you and they start picking at you, turn around and say, God's not finished with me. Thank you so much for that, but he's not finished with me yet. He's still at work. Amen? Every day, God is at work in your heart and my heart so that we would reflect and be more like Christ. Now, let me pause. Holy Spirit will do nothing and say nothing that will not lead us to Christ. Scripture tells us that. So, I know we get a little scared around this stuff because we've seen so much and heard so much, or we've heard the stories. If someone says, well, Holy Spirit said this, and it doesn't line up for Scripture, say, thank you very much, but I'm not listening. Because Holy Spirit will say nothing that doesn't line up to Scripture. That's his promise to us, so that we know how to walk with him and to move with him. Amen? And that he's not Casper the ghost. That's why in the Greek, and that Holy Spirit is given with a masculine part to it. He's a person, just like Jesus was a person, just like God is a person. And so when we understand that and we realize this, and all of a sudden we start breaking down to realize, wait a minute, we really need to trust Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, in these final moments, Lord, you'd help me just to articulate in such a way to release what you were trying to say. Lord, I pray that we would hear you, Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would go beyond my words, beyond everything, and you would begin to speak into every one of our hearts, Lord, that no one would leave this place not realizing that you are so alive and so real. God, I thank you, God. You're forever revealing yourself. You're forever showing us the way, the truth, and the life. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. See, it doesn't have to be big stuff. It can be little things. It can be little things that all of a sudden you begin. How many know in that when it comes to the heavy and the big moment, if you don't have something in behind you, that's usually where people crumble and fall. And so God's wanting us to learn to walk with Holy Spirit in the little things. And that Babs shared with me this morning about trying to look for something and couldn't find it, went and looked in a place and said, stopped and said, Holy Spirit, where is it? I can't find this. I can't remember where I put it. And Holy Spirit said, go back to the same box and go down a little deeper. And so she went back to the same box, went down deeper, and there it was. Listen to me. Holy Spirit is speaking all the time. He's trying to reveal wisdom all the time. Don't be like the world and say, well, that was luck. That was coincidence. See, that's the world's name for Holy Spirit because they don't know him. But you and I, in Christ, we know him. We can hear his voice. And we need to begin to lift him up so that everyone can begin to recognize just who he is. The gift of the Holy Spirit was central to the birth and growth of the early church. But it wasn't like he only just showed up on the scene then. No, the Spirit was moving since the very beginning of Scripture, from the very beginning before even Scripture was written. The Hebrew word for the Holy Spirit is ruach, R-U-A-C-H, interpreted as wind or the breath of God. In creation, the Spirit moved over, or hovered over the waters and brought forth life. Although the Hebrew writers, for the most part, did not use the phrase Holy Spirit, it was common in the New Testament, and it was understood as ruach, was holy and to be respected. Israel was rebuked when they grieved and rebelled against the Spirit of God, in Hebrew known as ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. Although the Spirit was active throughout the Old Testament, we saw that Holy Spirit would come upon someone, would come into a moment for just a brief time and then leave. Samson, the Spirit of God would come upon him. He'd take on 10,000 or whatever, and then the Spirit would leave him. And that's what happened in the Old Testament, but we're not there anymore. Now Jesus says, after he says, I'm leaving and I'll send the Holy Spirit 24/7 all the time, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Turn with me to the book of Joel, if you have your Bibles with you or on your phones, to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. It's kind of near the end of the Old Testament. On my Bible, it's page 761. Not that that really helps anyone here, but I just thought I would say that. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. God declared, and afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Not just Canadians. All people. Not just men. All people. Not just the older ones. All people. Same Holy Spirit that wants to pour out on your kids. And I've seen some crazy things coming out of the mouths of kids. Seen some crazy things where the young kid puts her hand upon a lame child and sees the lame child healed. Wait a minute, that's only for big people. Oh, may we never become big people. Amen? We need to be childlike in trusting in faith. God declared, and afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. God is declaring. This is not for the elite. This is not just for a pastor. This is not just for something else, but this is something he wants every single one of us to walk in. We're so desperate to hear his voice that we will simply surrender and say, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say today? Listen to me. There should be some crazy things God might ask of you, but you'll know his voice. And if you don't know and you're not sure, ask him again. And if you're really not sure, then go to another brother and sister in the Lord that you know that love God and submit it to him and ask them. God loves to confirm. He's not afraid to confirm. But he is longing for you and me not to spin our wheels, digging on the sand and building our house upon the sand, but get it up upon the rock, right on Christ, and build our lives on him. There's a lot of sinking sand that we can build ourselves on, and that upon people's ideas and people's thoughts, and internet is terrible for it. You can find anyone to agree with anything you want them to agree with on the internet. Anything from medicine to God and religion and this and that, and there's no precursor. There's no part in there. I'm so glad we're not back in the Old Testament, but you know, back in the Old Testament, when someone said they were speaking for God and they were wrong, they got stoned to death. That's how serious it was. Today, everyone randomly speaks for God and there's no ramification, it feels like. But listen to me. There's a lot of ramifications. A lot of ramifications for speaking out of turn and speaking against or speaking opposite to what Holy Spirit is saying. If you grieve Holy Spirit, it's not a good thing. And this is where a lot of times we grieve Him because we don't even recognize Him in our day. We don't even acknowledge that He's there. And in that part is He's saying, hey, I'm here. Let me lead you. You won't fall in that pit again. I'll give you wisdom to build a bridge over it or to walk around it. Just trust me. Many are plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord that orders their steps. We need Holy Spirit into our life. That's why we run into so many problems sometimes, is we become anxious, because we worry, because we become stressed, because we become fearful. They're all tricks of the devil. They're all his plans. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to partner with his plans. They lead to dead ends, literally. Right? We don't want to partner with that. So if I don't want to partner with that, what do I have to partner with? I need to partner with Holy Spirit because he'll lead me to Christ. And Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Holy Spirit, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What a remarkable promise of how the divide between heaven and earth will lessen and God's voice will increasingly be heard on the earth. A promise that is being fulfilled and that the one day it will be fully realized. Now we know in part, but then we'll know in full. There's some answers you just might not get here. His ways are just higher than ours. And sometimes it's just too big for us and we have to come to the place of, I'll trust. Like that song we've been singing and that part of our worship is even if you don't move the mountain, I'll trust you. Even if you don't answer or answer the way that I thought, I will trust in you. Because we come with that simple principle in our heart, he is good. He's a good daddy and he loves us very much. The prophets also foretold that the Spirit would rest on the longing-awaited Messiah. In Isaiah 1 and Isaiah 61, we see it in there. God declared by the Spirit, the Messiah would receive. Jesus would receive wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, and would preach the good news, bind up the broken heart, proclaim freedom for the captive, and release the prisoner from darkness. See, God's master plan for redemption and restoration would be empowered by the work of the Spirit. After the last Old Testament prophet spoke, there was no words from heaven for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New. No words from heaven. It's almost like heaven just shut right up. For 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told. Nothing until the Holy Spirit descended upon the old priest named Zechariah, his childless wife, Elizabeth, and a young righteous woman called Mary, all preparing the way for the Messiah to be born. The Spirit was at work. Just as Isaiah promised, the Holy Spirit marked Jesus, and that the mark that he put on was undeniable. I'm sure there's no disagreement about the significance of Jesus' life and what he did. Knowing that Jesus was fully God and fully man may lead us to a faulty conclusion that he did all that he did on his earthly ministry because he was God. But what does Scripture say? Well, Paul declares in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5-8, he says, Jesus made himself nothing, becoming a servant and humbling himself. Another translation uses a powerful imagery that he emptied himself. Yes, he was God. Yes, full God, yes, full man, but he emptied himself from the ability of being able to move like God and speak like God and create like God, and he humbled and submitted himself that he needed the same Holy Spirit that you and I need, and everything he did, he only did because his daddy told him to and his Holy Spirit empowered him to. Same pattern. That's why when we say and we talk about through Scripture, who are we really trying to be like? Our only answer is Christ. If we're trying to be like anyone else, it's pretty difficult because Holy Spirit is trying to make you more like Christ. And if you're trying to make you like someone else, there's going to be conflict somewhere in there. But he's trying to make us more like Christ. Christ came and he says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I was the king. King of kings and Lord of lords, that every knee will bow before. Yet he came with a snap of a finger, with a word spoke, with a twinkle of an eye or whatever. Legions of angels could have came and wiped out all the Romans. Could have taken the Pharisees and their guard out. He says, no, I've come to be subject and a servant to my Father because I trust him, because he's a good daddy. And anything he did, that's why he retreated and say, and he'd have times with God. He says, God, what do you want me to do? How am I going to do this? God, if there's another way, you take this cup from me, but if not, your will be done. Doesn't that sound like our prayer sometimes? Oh, God, if there's another way, please bail me out of this. But may we come like Christ to say, if not, give me the strength to walk through it because I trust you're a good daddy. You got me, right? The devil doesn't hold us. Our mortgages don't hold us. The government doesn't hold us. Cancer and all the sickness doesn't hold us. He holds us in his hands. And the more we begin to understand that, the more we begin to surrender to that, the more we allow Holy Spirit to lead us in that, then we can walk into this light and free life that Christ promises us. It only gets stressful when we take the reins and try to hang on to it. It only gets overwhelming when we're hanging on to our ideas or our thoughts instead of allowing him to move in the things that he has for us. Coming back to trust in him. Moving and flowing with him. The ministry of Jesus began by the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove at the River of Jordan at Jesus' baptism, accompanied by priceless words spoken by his daddy. You are my dear son, and I am pleased with you. Now listen, I believe in my heart of hearts, and when I look in Scripture and I begin to understand who my daddy is, I believe the moment you and I say, hey, Dad, would you forgive me? Would you come into my life and lead my life? That the first echo that gets echoed over you is, this is my daughter, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus washes us white as snow. He says that God says, when I forgive you, I forgive you, and as far as the east and the west, I'll remember it no more. In other words, if you start heading in one direction, and that even though you're all the way around, you're still heading in that same direction. You're still moving into that place. You keep going east. You keep going east. You keep going east. God is saying it'll never come back around again. So would you hear my echo over you? You're my daughter. You're my son. And I'm well pleased. Don't try to be someone else. Just be who I created you to be. Being different is okay. Being different is okay. Learn to walk in the rhythm of my grace, hearing my voice, walking with me. Trust me. This life, he says, is not that hard. Oh, we'll have trials and troubles. Yes, we will. But it's not that hard because you'll know in the midst of all of those things that you're facing and going through that I'm right there with you. And in fact, not only there, but I'll carry you and I'll hold you and pull you through. Holy Spirit is a whole lot more than just an add-on. Like an option you put on your car. Well, I can still drive my car and everything will be great. No, Holy Spirit is everything. Because the reality is, I can't even find Jesus myself. Holy Spirit was working on my heart long before I said yes to him. God is bidding and speaking and moving all through this earth, and Holy Spirit is touching and moving and trying to connect dots and do things in people's lives all the time. Why? Because he's about his Father's business, and his Father's business is, I long that none would perish. So listen, if you're praying for your unsaved loved one, know with confidence inside of you, Holy Spirit's already at work. So what are you doing when you begin to pray? Now it changes the way you pray. Now you're not aimlessly, oh God, if you could hear me, please God, I'm wondering. Now you can turn around and pray with confidence. Holy Spirit, I already know you're at work in my son, my daughter. I know you're at work in my aunt, my uncle. You're in work in my mom and dad. You're at work over here. So I'm coming in agreement with that. And I'm just going to call forth that. If you want to put a message in me to share, so be it. If not, someone else. But I just call forth the goodness of God inside of them. I call forth the plans, God says in Jeremiah 29:11-13, plans of hope and a future. I don't know about you, but when you start walking around and start listening to some people around, they sure don't feel like they got a lot of hope. This world has a way of grinding out any hope that you have. If you got a good day, it's got a way that it's just grinding. You can't be good. You can't be happy. You can't be like that, and it'll grind it out of you. Jesus says, come to me. I'll fill you up. I'll fill you up so overflowing with my presence and my Holy Spirit that you'll just leak over on everyone around you, that everyone can taste and see that I am good. But it starts with you and me. It starts with you and me retreating back to our daddy, saying, hey, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. And if you feel like it's only a teaspoon of room left in there, then start to say, Holy Spirit, would you just take inventory of my life? What do I need to rearrange? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to remove or put back into right order so they can create more room for you? Just give them a little more room today than you did yesterday, and watch what God will do. When you just open up a little bit more, and then as you take that step, you're like, wow, that wasn't so bad. Wow, that's so good. Man, I sense his presence. Just imagine if you let the floodgates open. God tore the veil from the top to the bottom when Jesus died, saying, that's not my way. I don't want people blocked from coming into my presence. I want people to come boldly into my presence. So he broke open the gates. So between heaven and us, there's no barriers now. It's wide open, and he's longing to pour. The only gate that's there now is of your heart and mine. Whether we'll open up wide and say, fling wide those heavenly gates we talk about, that's really your heart and mine. Will we fling wide and open our arms up and reach out for him? Will we fling wide, open our gates, and allow him to come in, the King of glory, into our lives? Will we open ourselves to him? That's the prayer. That's what he's longing for. So, Heavenly Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we just pause for a moment. We just say, God, Lord, in the next few moments here, just in silence, God, would you just begin to whisper in our hearts? If there's an area that we could maybe let go of, or whether it be a pain or hurt, whether it be an unforgiveness, bitterness, whether it be a distraction or something that we're so focused on that we could just kind of dial it down a little bit or let go of it so that we can give more room to you, God. Lord, would you just begin to speak through this place? That every one of us will just pause. And would you just begin to breathe? Maybe at one area or two that we could just let go of to give you a little more room today. We know you're a good daddy. And you say you only give good gifts. And Holy Spirit is a great gift. Holy Spirit is amazing. Most kindest person you will ever meet. He only lifts you up. He's picking you up. He's not driving you down. That's the enemy. God, I pray you begin to speak through this place. Once he's spoken that thing to you, just maybe just pretend it's in your hand and just stick it out to him now and say, God, I quite don't know how to do this, but I'm going to give you this. area, this hurt, this pain, whatever it might be that's taking up room in your heart that you know shouldn't be there. A word someone spoke over you that's just a lie. That action or something you did in your yesterdays, but you're not that person anymore. It's time to let go. Why don't you give God that area and let him bring life back to it. Let him pour life into that area. So God, Lord, we just come and we just give back to you. Lord, for some, maybe it's a complete surrender of their heart. Maybe it's for the first time you haven't surrendered your heart to God. Today's your great day to do it. He's a good daddy. He loves you. And that maybe you're here and maybe it's just one area. You're kind of a little nervous to give it over, but you're going to try and take a step. Well, listen to me. You'll never take a wrong step when you take a step towards God. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now for what you're doing amongst us. I just pray, Lord, you said you would do exceedingly abundantly above all we could dream or ask according to riches. So even that little step will turn into multiplication of major steps as you begin to flood and pour into them and lavish love and your grace and your wisdom and your peace, your kindness, your goodness, your self-control. God, we lack nothing in you when we allow you to lead. So Lord, I just bless each and every one with ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to follow hard after you. God, I just thank you for that right now. God, I give you thanks, Holy Spirit, for what you're speaking amongst us and what you're prepping us for. And that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God, Lord, we're saying, hey, we're all. So Lord, we just thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for pouring down upon us. And Lord, we will, Lord, this week put into practice what we've heard today. And that by allowing you to have more room and by pausing to listen to your voice so that we might walk in the same power and authority that Christ walked in, because the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in him dwells in us. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Bless each and every one, I pray. Overwhelm them with your goodness, Lord. And as we come back tonight at 6:30, God, I just thank you for what you're doing and that during our prayer times. And we just, Lord, ask you just to continue to move in by your power and your strength, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you lots. And we just pray blessings over you and encourage you. Don't forget to come out at 6:30 tonight. If you'd like prayer, and that I'd love to pray with you, I'll hang around here a little bit longer. If not, then I'll see you in the lobby on your way out in just a few moments. God bless you.